Let us turn in our Bibles tonight to John chapter 14. Beginning with verse 1 through verse 11. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. This past week, as I was praying and seeking the Lord for a message for us tonight, I received an email, and in this email, I was reminded of something that made me begin to think about heaven, about the place that the Lord Jesus Christ has gone to prepare for his people. And so there's two things I want to do to introduce the message tonight. I want to tell all of us that I want to speak to every child of God here tonight about your future home, that is heaven. That's the first thing I want to do, is to speak to all of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior tonight about our future home. You know, when the Israelites were on their way to the land of Canaan, a land that many times in the Scripture is spoken of as a type of heaven. We sing that hymn sometimes, On Jordan's stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. So Canaan, the land of Canaan, described by God as a land which flowed with milk and honey, is sometimes used as a type of heaven. And I would just remind us that on the way through the wilderness, they sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy out the land that flowed with milk and honey. And we read of one experience they had. They brought a branch back, a branch that they carried between two men. And on this branch, there was a cluster of grapes, a cluster of grapes which was so large, so full, that it took two of these men, grown men, to carry back to show them the fruits of the land of Canaan. The Scriptures which speak about the child of God's future home is like that cluster of grapes. It's so full. The Word of God is so full of good things that we can only consider a few of the things that we are told about heaven. But the second thing that I determined to do, not only, first of all, to speak to God's children about our future home, but I wanted to do so using only positive truths about heaven. We've heard, and I've said this before as well, that many things that we know about heaven are set in negatives, negative terms. No more. No more sin. No more death. No more sickness. No more sorrow. Negative terms. But I was determined tonight to bring a message to us and not use negative terms, but all positive terms about heaven. I like the fact that the gospel is a positive message. It's not a negative message. Now, it is true that man must hear the bad news before he hears the good news. I know that. The bad news is that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. A man must hear that. He must know. Not just from the Word of God, but by the testimony of God the Holy Spirit to his soul, that he has sinned against God. He's alienated from God Almighty. But the good news is, and this is a positive message, that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's dear Son, came into this world made of a woman, God, the eternal Son of God, made of a woman, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. Every man, as we come into this world, every person is under God's moral law. And because we have all broken that law, then we are all under the curse of that law. And the Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And it's a very positive message of who he is and what he has accomplished and for whom he has accomplished it and where he is tonight, as we finished singing just a minute ago in that hymn, which pretty well told it all out, didn't it? Wounded for me, dying for me, living for me, praying for me, and yes, praise God, one day coming for me. It's a positive message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Thou and thy house. That's what the apostle Paul and Barnabas, or Silas rather, were able to tell that jailer. Most people know that a Roman jailer was a very hardened person. Probably be considered like a retired soldier after many years of fighting battles, battle scars, given a job as a jailer of a Roman prison, and taking those two prisoners of the Lord and putting them into the deepest part of the prison, and then hearing them singing psalms, praising God, thanking God that they were counted worthy to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent that earthquake, opened up the prison door, and he called for a light and came out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And you know the answer, the only answer. Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's a positive message, isn't it? I think it is. And I love it. And I love the fact that the Lord has allowed me to preach this gospel. Well, I want to mention five positive truths about heaven tonight. First, heaven is a place with several names. You notice in our text tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ told his 12 disciples, and he had just told them that one of them was going to betray them. One of them was going to deny them. Named him, "Peter, you're going to deny me before the cock crows thrice or twice. But let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place. Heaven is a place, and I'm saying tonight it is a place with many names. Heaven is a place. It's not some nebulous something somewhere in the ether. No, it's a place. It's a place. And it's a place, as I've said, with many names. The Lord Jesus Christ called it paradise. When the thief looked at him upon the tree being crucified and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." That's just another name for heaven. You say, "How do you know that?" I know that because if you look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul interchanges heaven and paradise as the same place. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 1, he said, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth." You see, Paul did not know. He was not able to say whether he was bodily taken up into heaven or he just was taken there in a vision. He didn't know. He couldn't say which it was. "I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter." Do you see? He said that he was caught up to the third heaven and also that he was caught up into paradise. It's amazing to me what men in this world consider to be paradise. And it differs from person to person. Some people, they believe a paradise is a place that is a place of sun and beaches and beautiful oceans, lush vegetation. That's paradise. They've made it to paradise. They're moving to paradise. Oh, my. If that's paradise, my friends, they've got a sad awakening. Because you can move to the most beautiful place in this world. And there are beautiful places. But they're not paradise. None of them are. Some people think, "Well, I like the cold climate myself. I don't want to live on a beach. That's not paradise for me. I'd rather be up in the mountains." Some people, paradise to them is more like living in a desert. Strange, isn't it, what people consider to be paradise? Did you know that the English word paradise is only found 3 times in our Bibles? 3 times. This place here in 2 Corinthians that we just read, when the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to the thief and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise," and one other place. Let's look at this place, Revelation chapter 2, in the letter which the Lord Jesus Christ sent to the messenger of the church at Ephesus. Revelation chapter 2. And verse 7, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." The tree of life, he that overcometh. You say, "Well, who overcomes?" He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. That's who overcomes. That's what we read in 1 John chapter 5. He that overcometh is he that believeth in Jesus Christ. But what we see here is that in the paradise of God, there is the tree of life. Now, the tree of life is just another symbol for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the tree of life. Because he's the author and he's the giver of all life. All life. Natural life. The Apostle Paul said, we live, we move, we have our being in him. Every person on the face of God's earth tonight lives because they receive life from the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not only the author of natural life, but spiritual life. That life that we lost in our father Adam. That life that meant that we had fellowship and communion with God. We lost that life, didn't we? And he's the giver of life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God, the wrath of God abideth upon him. And not only spiritual life, but eternal life. I give unto them eternal life, his sheep. The tree of life, and the tree of life, as most trees, produce fruit, all the fruit that we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fruit of wisdom. He's made unto us the wisdom of God, the righteousness of God, the sanctification, redemption, all the many blessings and benefits that we as believers have. We have them all from the tree of life. From Jesus Christ, our Lord. What makes heaven to be a paradise? The paradise. Listen, heaven is paradise because that's where he is. That's where he is. There's a man in glory. The God-man. That's where he is. And that's what he said, I go to prepare a place for thee, that where I am, there you may be also. Heaven is a place, and it's a place with many names, and the first name I mention is the name of paradise. It's not the golden streets. It's not the walls of jasper and all the other precious jewels that make heaven to be heaven. Heaven is heaven because Christ is there. He's the center of heaven. Well, I said that it has several names, such as the city of God. The city of God. Mount Zion. The New Jerusalem. The better. The heavenly country. A city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So that's the first positive. Heaven is a place. It's a place with several names. Second, heaven is a place where we shall behold Christ's glory. Look with me in our Lord's high priestly prayer, recorded in John chapter 17. Heaven is a place where we, that is, God's children, we shall behold Christ's glory. In this prayer in John chapter 17 and verse 24, our Lord said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. Now notice, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You know, six times in this prayer, John chapter 17, six times in this prayer, the Lord specifies the people for whom he is praying. He is praying for them that were given to him by the Father. Now, men who deny the truth of God's sovereign, eternal election, They will tell you, well, he's praying only for the 12 apostles here. They're the ones that he's praying for who were given to him of the Father. But we would just ask this, what about Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 13, when the Lord Jesus Christ said, behold, I and the children which God hath given me, the children which God hath given me, the children given to him for whom he partook of flesh and blood, the children that were given him for whom he tasted death, the children that were given him for whom he destroyed the devil and his works. These are the children. These are the ones who were given unto him in that eternal covenant of grace. But heaven is a place where we shall behold his glory. Now you notice when he says this, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. Now, as God, and he is God, everlasting, eternal God, he has always had all glory. He has the glory that the Father has, the glory that God the Holy Spirit has. He has all glory. It's all his. But he's speaking here of a glory which was given him by the Father. And this is his glory as Christ, as the God-man, as the mediator between God and men. The apostle tells us that in his word, in the word of God, we see his glory. It's difficult to define what glory means, isn't it? It really is. The fact that we will behold his glory. What does that mean? We're at a loss of words. I am, to describe exactly what that means, to behold his glory. I know all praise, all honor will be given unto him from every creature and all created beings, and all creation will honor him and give him glory, praise him. But Paul tells us that in his word we behold his glory, but it's as in a mirror. And the mirrors which they had at that time certainly were not like the mirrors which we have. Many of them were burnished brass. And yeah, you can see a reflection there. And yes, we see his glory here in the Word of God, but dimly, dimly. We behold his glory as in a glass, Paul said, but dimly. But in heaven, we will see his glory. Now listen, we will see his glory and we shall be like him. We shall be like him. Look in Philippians just a moment. Philippians chapter 3. John said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Heaven is a place where we shall behold his glory, and we shall be ourselves in glorified bodies. Here in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, Paul says, for our conversation, our citizenship. I'm thankful I am a U.S. citizen. I was born a U.S. citizen. And I tell you, folks, we have a lot to be thankful for. And a lot of people have died given their lives for the liberty and the freedom that we enjoy just because we are U.S. citizens. But there's one citizenship that I prize above the U.S. citizenship, and that's to be a citizen of heaven. For our citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. I like that translation that instead of vile body has the body of our humiliation. Oh, that glorious body of Adam, when God took some dirt and created a body for him. That was a glorious body. But we know that when Adam sinned and that image of God in which he was created was marred, even our bodies have suffered because of sin. And this is a vile body. It is a body of our humiliation. We live in this body, don't we? We live in this body, and it is a body, a house of humiliation, because it is subject to so many diseases, so many sicknesses. And one day it's going to see corruption. This body's going to turn back to the dust. Dust it came from, and dust it's going to return to. My body is, and so is yours. But Paul tells us when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, he's going to change this vile body, and he's going to give us one like, notice that, like unto his glorious body. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And in this glorious body, we will be able then to behold his glory, to see his glory. The third positive thing about heaven, first of all, it's a place with many names. Second, it is a place where we shall behold Christ's glory. And third, heaven is a place of light. Light. In Scripture, darkness represents iniquity. The kingdom of darkness. We know that's the kingdom of Satan. Kingdom of darkness. Darkness in the Word of God represents iniquity, evil. But light represents holiness. God is light. God, the thrice holy God, is light. Dwelling in light, unapproachable. Yes, but in heaven, heaven is a place of holiness. It's a place of light, of pure light. And the light of the city is not an artificial light. It's not the light of the sun, the light of the moon, or the stars, or anything like that. No, it's the light of the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God is the light of that city. Revelation 21, the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light thereof. What kind of light is that going to be? Pure holiness, purity, purity. Sinlessness, nothing that offends, nor maketh a lie, or abomination, is going to enter into that city. It's a city of light. And you and I will be there because we've been washed in the blood of Christ. That's the only reason. Can you imagine that? Come into this world polluted, described in Ezekiel like that baby, not unwashed, just cast out there in the field. And praise God, God passed by, seeing the baby in its pollution, seeing you, seeing me in our pollution, in our sinfulness, and he passes by and he says, live. Live! And that's the only reason we live, and we're washed, and our comeliness, yes, our comeliness is his comeliness that is put upon us, his righteousness. Don't you love that parable when that prodigal son came home? And his father, bring the best robe. The best robe. Not just any old robe will do. For God's children, it's the best robe. It's the robe of his righteousness. Put a ring on his finger. Here we go. That eternal love that is symbolized by a ring. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Put sandals on his feet. He's not coming back as a servant. Though that's what he said, make me as one of thine hired servants. No, no. He's coming back as a son. And kill the fatted calf. Let's rejoice and make merry. This my son who was dead is alive. Oh, it's a city of light. And to think that you and I, who are darkness itself by nature, will be living in that city of light. Fourth, heaven is a place of fullness of joy and lasting pleasure. Turn with me to Psalm 16. Heaven is a place of fullness of joy and everlasting pleasure. Verse 11, we read, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At my right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Joy is a wonderful thing. The joy of the Lord is a wonderful thing. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But we would all confess tonight that our joy here is not constant. It's not constant. It cannot be constant. For in this world we still have within us what the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7 calls a law, a principle that remains in every child of God, so that when I would do good, evil is present with me. But in this heavenly place, in our glorified bodies, that old principle will not be with us. It'll be left behind. And therefore, heaven is a place of eternal joy, fullness of joy, and pleasures forevermore. And fifth, and last, heaven is a place where there shall be a great family reunion. All the saints of God, all of God's family, we shall all be gathered home. Not one shall be missing. And when you think about it, the majority of our family, those that will be there with us, we haven't known. We'll just be meeting for the first time. We could not possibly have known all of them because they are described as a great multitude which no man could number. Not only no man did number, no man could number of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues. But even though there will be many we will meet for the first time, we're all members of the same family. Sometimes families here in the world, they have a family reunion. They go out to a park maybe, and some of these families, large families, and people come and you hear people say, you know, I met some people I never have known before. Well, that's the way it's going to be at this family reunion. We're going to meet some people we've never known before, but thank God we're going to be with some people we have known. Some people we have known. Some people we've worshiped with. I think of several that have gone on out of this congregation that we'll meet again and worship together again. I said at the beginning of the message, I received an email from a person that made me start thinking about preaching about heaven. This email was from a preacher that I've known for several years, and in it he named five preachers. And one of those five was my name. And he said this. He said, all of those men except you have gone on. And I got to thinking about those four men. Men that I dearly loved. Men who were faithful gospel preachers. And I believe by the grace of God, we'll be reunited in heaven. And not only them, but I could add some other men to that list that I've known that I look forward to worshiping with again. And I'm sure you have many friends and relatives that have known Christ and served Christ. And it's a joy, isn't it, to think of that great reunion. That great reunion. Heaven is a place where we shall meet again. I started to choose for our closing hymn, Meet Me There. I know David likes to lead that hymn, but I didn't. We're going to sing number 511, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. Number 511, if you'd like to turn there. We've got a wonderful prospect, don't we? A glorious future. And it's not going to be for just a few days. It's going to be forever. Forever with the Lord. Let us stand as we sing number 511.